His boss came in and sat him down and said to him, I'm going to double your pay. Now, I don't know what you're making, but just think about doubling your pay. That's significant. The job with the church was just paying just a little bit more, had better vacation time and all that. Matt called me about it, and he said, Dad, this is what's going on. I can't believe this guy doubled my pay. And I'm like, oh, man, that is so cool. But you don't take it unless you get more vacation time because you're going to have some money to spend, and I want you to come home. And he said, well, I'll let you know what I decide. 2 days later, I called him. And I said, what did you decide? He said, Dad, I'm going to work for the church. And I'm like, who raised you? And I mean, I couldn't believe it. I mean, it's $30,000 difference in pay. And I said, what do you think? What made you decide to do that? And you know what he said? He said, Dad, I'd rather work for God than some man. Every once in a while, the preacher has to preach to himself. And I have found lately that I have needed this lesson so much more than I have in any other time in my life. And so as I'm preaching today, I want you to understand that in no way am I pointing fingers at any of you. If this happens to get on you, that's good. But if it doesn't, it's okay. The reason why I'm telling you this is because as I preach today, you may feel a sense of guilt. That is what I am feeling, and I am transferring my guilt to you. So, having said all that, I want to start off with the lesson. If you've got your lessons notes, I want you to see here where it says, everything happens for a reason. And I want you to, you probably heard that phrase. I know I hear it at weird times. Somebody was telling me the other day, they pulled out in front of somebody and they hit them and, you know, it was an accident, but they weren't paying attention, and they pulled out in front of this person. They got hit. They got charged. They got the ticket. And as they're telling me about all this, they said, well, you know, everything happens for a reason. And I'm like, yeah, you pulled out in front of somebody. That's your reason. You got hit. But a lot of times we have this mentality that everything happens for a reason because God has some purpose behind it. Now, I want you to understand, and the first thing here is that we live in a fallen world. Sometimes things happen just because we live in a fallen world. Nothing is going to stay the way it is. No matter what you think you have done, we live in a fallen world, and we're in a world of rust and decay. We're in a world of sin and fallenness, and sometimes things just happen because we live in this fallen world. The second thing is, sometimes things happen because God is growing us. God is growing us. I've said this before. God is more concerned about you being holy than he is about you being happy. And you need to remember that. There are lessons that God is teaching us, that he's correcting us. I got a quote from my son Tyler the other day, and I thought it was really good. It came from JFK, and JFK said, don't pray for us to have easier lives. Pray for us to be stronger men. And I think that's kind of what we need to think about when it comes to tragedy and things that are happening around us, is we don't need to pray for an easier life. We need to pray to be stronger people. And God is concerned about that. He is taking us through this life to prepare us for heaven. So he's trying to get us ready for heaven. And there's going to come a day, and I know it's getting closer for some of us, but all of us are going to see a time where God's judgment is going to come. And at one moment in our life, everything we've done from today on is going to come into account as to where we spend eternity. And God is concerned with that, and sometimes things are happening in our lives trying to make us holy. And number three, God is doing something we just don't understand. I think so many times we want to understand why things happen. The biggest question that I get from people who are not members of the church is, why do bad things happen to good people? I got a call from a young lady not too long ago. Her father had passed, and she was devastated. And she had no understanding why this happened. And a lot of times we don't know why things happen. I think, for example, the greatest example in the Bible of somebody not knowing what happened is the Job. All those things happened to Job, and throughout the book, they're trying to figure that out throughout the book, and at the very end, God says, you don't have a clue. And God's sovereign, and he has things happen. It may very well have been that God had Job go through everything he was going through to help somebody today. And Job would never say that. I think if I were Job and God told me, I'm trying to teach a lesson through your life, and I would just look at him, could you pick somebody else? I don't really need a book named after me. Because what Job went through was pretty horrific, and he had no understanding why. The fourth reason things happen is we make bad choices. Amen? Everybody in here knows somebody that has made a bad choice. Just raise your hand if you know somebody that's made a bad choice in their life. Okay, keep your hand up because that was probably you. All right? Everybody makes bad choices from time to time. I know I've made some and you've made some too. So I say all of that because you may be in your situation right now because of some bad choices you have made. It may very well be that you're in the situation right now and you don't understand why you're in this situation. You've done everything right. And it may very well be that God is trying to grow you in this situation that you're in right now. And sometimes you're in a situation through no fault of your own. It's just that we live in a fallen world. Now, I've said all that to set this up. We're going to be talking about the gift that you can give yourself. This is the gift that you can give yourself. I know some of you are still trying to decide what to give me. And I'm going to make it easy on you. If you haven't found anything, cash will be good, okay? Just, you know, I'll figure it out later. But my point being is you don't have to worry about giving me something. But all of us need to give ourselves something. And that gift that you can give yourself is called margin. And margin, I've got it defined here, and it comes from Robert Swenson's book, Margins. The space between our limit and our load. The space between our limit and our load. Now, most of you have heard of margin on a page of the book. As a matter of fact, if you look at a book, maybe you have a Bible in front of you, almost every book has margins on the side. My favorite Bible I ever had was a notebook Bible, and it had the scriptures in one column, and then it had this big margin with lines on the other so I could take notes as I was going through my Bible. And that area on the side, that margin over there is kind of what we have in our life, because things are going to come up. Things are going to happen. And if you have no margin in your life, it's going to mess with you. How many of you have ever gotten a card? I know Christmas cards are pretty popular right now, where the person has written all over the card in all the spaces. They start at the top and it looks like it's going well, and then they turn on the side, and then they go through the back, and then it has over on it, and you turn it over and there's two pages on the back and you don't really know where to start, and by the time it's over you don't even care what they say. That's because they've used up all the margin. Now you can say to yourself, if the books would use up all the space they have, we would save paper. We would probably save 30% of the pages that are needed to write things if we took the margin out. But here's what's happened. It would become very tiresome to read. And your life with no margin becomes tiresome. If you're busy all the time, and you may be like me, and I've had to step back from some things, because what I have found is when I have no margin, I have no joy in what I'm doing. And we need to find that margin because we need that joy. It's kind of like, some of you probably can relate to this, but when I was younger, I had a Volkswagen Beetle, and it was just the coolest car ever. It was my very first car. It was green, and it had brown seats in it, and I took all the seats out. I cleaned the car up really good, and I found some orange and brown high-low carpet to go in it. I mean, I was boss back then. And I would drive around with my shag carpet. It went around the window, and everybody would look at my car and see how I customized it and all that kind of stuff. But one of the things I really liked about that Volkswagen is it was manual. And at first, it was a little bit of trouble because in Rock Hill, you can tell there were hills there. And if you're not used to using that clutch, you got to give it a little gas and let off the clutch. And if you don't do it just right, you roll backwards, you bump the car behind you. It's very, very embarrassing. But I got really good at that. As a matter of fact, I got good at driving that Volkswagen. I put that thing up on two wheels more times than I'd like to admit. But one of the things in that car that was really good is it had a tachometer. And that tachometer would tell you when you needed to shift gears and go to the next gear. But on that tachometer, boy, I brush my teeth and can't do a thing with them. There was this little space on the very end. It was called red. It was red. You could run your engine like that for a while, but if you did that all the time, you'd blow up your engine. And what's happening to a lot of us is we don't have any margin in our life. And we're going all the time, and we're taking care of this, and we're going here, and we're doing this. And at the end of the day, we're blowing up our engine, and we don't know why we're so unhappy. So I'm telling you all this because of the fact that there's three big areas of everyone's life that you've got to have margin. Now, there's lots of other areas in terms of things, but the three big areas I want us to address today is time, money, and relationships. Time, money, and relationships. If you don't have some margin in those areas of your life, it's tough. If you don't have margin in your time, you're always hurrying to be late. You know what I'm talking about? You're always hurrying to be late somewhere. If you don't have margin with your money, you're always behind in your bills. As the saying goes, you're robbing Peter to pay Paul. And if you don't have margin in your relationship, what happens is you spend too much time together, and at the end of the day, you don't want to be around anybody anymore. And the other side of it is nobody wants to be around you either. So you have to have margin in those relationships. So I'm saying all this because I want us to open up our notes, and I've got three observations from the scriptures that I want us to take home. And this is my gift to me, but it's also my gift to you. The number one thing is, I think that God doesn't want me stressed out. God doesn't want me stressed out. And you can see the verse here, John 10:10. He says, the thief comes to steal, and I want you to write above the words to steal, time. He comes to steal time, to kill relationships, and destroy finances. Because I think that Satan is out there, and he likes the fact when we get so busy that we can't concentrate on what's important, we can't concentrate on doing good, because we're so busy, we don't even know what's going on most of the time. It says the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but Jesus' words, I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. This life should be a full life. This life should be something that brings joy to us. This life, and we live in a nation that we have more than anybody has ever had in entire history in terms of things we can do, places we can go, and the abilities we have. And Jesus' words hold so true today, even as they did back then, that Jesus says, I have come that you might have life and you might have it to the full. Well, the scripture that was read a few moments ago, Jesus says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. And I got to tell you, when I was preparing this lesson, and I looked at that verse, and I thought, you know, that has so much meaning for me right now. I've got so many things going on. I go home, and every time I go home, I think of the things that I need to be doing around the house and the things I need to be taking care of. And I read that verse, and then I kept reading. And if you look at your notes, it says, take my yoke. Underline the word my yoke there. Because the yoke there, and a lot of times we just think of oxen, he has a yoke on, and what we don't really recognize is that is God's way of directing us. God's way of directing us is putting this yoke on us, and he has a direction that he wants us to move in. And I was around some farms when I was growing up, and I know more about horses than I do ox and making ox go, but it's the same principle. Once you train an ox or a horse and you learn how to direct them, it's very easy for them to be directed. He says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. Underline those words, learn from me. And that's living biblically. Living biblically, like God wants us to live. He says, take my yoke and learn from me, for I am gentle, humble in heart, and I love this, and you will find rest for your souls. In this season of life where it seems like everything gets busy, I'm on a Zoom call, and there's 9 of us on a Zoom call, and this past Wednesday, all 9 of us could not make the Zoom call. And it was for different reasons. All of them were good reasons. All of them had things going on. But 9 of us couldn't make the Zoom call. And one of the ones I thought was hilarious coming from a preacher at a different church, he says, I hate Christmas parties. Because he couldn't make the call because he was at a Christmas party. But here's the thing. He says, you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. The second thing I want you to notice is in most cases, margin is a matter of choice. In most cases, margin is a matter of choice. We make choices about our life that we either have margin in our life or we don't have margin in our life. We get to choose whether or not we are to the max all the time or we've got some space in our life. And I would like to say to you this morning that a lot of us feel like we have to run all the time. I think the world has made it so that if you're living stressed out and you're going to the max all the time, then you're living your best life ever. Well, there may be some truth to that sometimes, but not all the time. If you're a professional athlete, you play football or basketball or whatever it is during the year, but if you get hurt, you step back for a little bit. But in the playoffs, you may play hurt because the playoffs really matter. And sometimes in our lives, we have no choice because of circumstances where we have to go and we have to do a little bit more than what we want to do. But for the most part, we just choose to live a certain way where we're going all the time and we have no margin. It's a matter of choice. I've got a scripture in here, and I want to talk to you a little bit about the manna principle. It comes from Exodus chapter 16 and verse 4. And most of you know the story of the Israelites. They were hungry. They were in the woods, and they were trying to figure out what was going on and how are we going to eat. And estimates of 2 million people need to be fed. And God sends down manna. Do you know what manna translates in from the Hebrew? What is it? That's exactly right. What is it? And so whenever you hear the word manna, you just say, what is it? Because nobody really knew what it is. That reminds me of a kid when he sits at a table and he gets Brussels sprouts. And they look at it and he says, what is it? I'm just like, it's something you shouldn't eat, son. Stay away. They'll try to trick you with it. You had to be here for other sermons to really get that joke. But the point being is God supplied their needs every day. You may be going through a hard time right now and you don't know how you're going to get through it. God will give you what you need today. He won't give you what you need tomorrow today. He'll give you what you need tomorrow tomorrow. And so sometimes in our life, we've got to understand the manna principle. It may be that you've been through a season of life and you thought, how in the world did I ever get through that? How am I going to get through it? I'll just tell you this. God's going to give you what you need today. Look at the end of this verse.
It says, "Then the Lord said to Moses, I will rain down bread from heaven for you. The people are to go each day and gather enough for the day. In this way, I will test them." Underline those words. "I will test them and see whether or not they will follow my instructions." You see, a lot of times when it comes to what you're going through, it's a matter of choice, and God is testing you in those choices to see if you're going to follow His instructions. Letter C, the secret of margin is saying no. The secret of margin is saying no. I know sometimes I get a little stressed out, and this has happened to me more than once. Somebody can tell, I'm pretty open book as far as my emotions and things like that. You can tell when I'm happy, you can tell when I'm sad, you can tell when I'm mad. And so some people will look at me from time to time and they'll say, "Neil, you know, I can tell you're stressed out." And I'll say, "Yeah, I'm stressed out. I got all these people coming at me and they need this and they need that. And I'm a little stressed out right now." And they will say to me, and they'll do it sincerely, "Neil, you really need to say no." And I'll look at them and I said, "Can I start with you?" You see, I love the guy that came up to me and said, "Neil, God has a great plan for your life, and so do I." So many times we let others stress us because we can't say no. We want to be everything to everybody. But look at what it says here. Humble yourselves. Therefore, under God's mighty hand, that they may fill you up in due time. Cast all your anxiety on Him because He cares for you. You need to understand that we got to learn to say no to certain things. But the only way to learn to say no to certain things is figuring out what our yeses are. Several years ago when my kids were really young, one of the things that disturbed me is my father sat down with my older brother and I and had a talk with us before we went off to college. And it was the very first time I ever recall my father crying. And he was crying in front of me and my brother. And I'm like, "What did we do now? I mean, this has got to be bad." And, you know, I was getting some padding for my rear end. Even though I was getting ready to go to college, I thought if he's that upset that he's crying, he's going to beat us really good. But he looked at us and he said, "Boys, I've been so busy with the church and I've been so busy with the things that are going on around that I don't even know who you are." And that was the most impactful statement that my father ever made to me. And when he made that statement, it crushed me for him. It didn't bother me for me because I was happy going and doing whatever I was doing. I was a teenager. I didn't think anything about it. But it crushed me for him. And so when my boys were little, I made a determination that I wanted to be in their lives. And I set up an appointment with them every week that I was with them. We had the random times like dinner times and all, but we had some scheduled times because it was what I was saying yes to. And if a friend of mine called and said, "Hey, Neil, you want to go play tennis," which back then, I was really good at tennis. The older I get, the better I was too. But I love playing tennis. But if I looked at my calendar and said, "No, I got an appointment," they never asked, "What was your appointment?" But they knew I had an appointment. And I said yes to my boys. And because I said yes to them back then, I still have a great relationship with them today. You have to realize what you're going to say yes to. I love the preacher that I was talking to one day, and I was talking to him about his prayer life and his meditation and how he did it, because I'm always looking for some new ways, something I can learn from somebody else. And I was talking to him about how he does his morning devotionals and things like that. And I said, "So tell me about your prayer life. Tell me about your morning devotionals." And he says, "I'm too busy for that right now." And it shocked me. But then I got to thinking about it. There's been times in my life, as a preacher, that I've been too busy to pray because I've been too busy doing the Lord's work. And if we're not careful, and it doesn't happen just to preachers, but it happens to us as Christians, if we're not careful, we're going to be too busy to do the things that are important to us. Well, in the spirit of Christmas, I've got the Grinches that steal our margins. There are a lot of things that steal our margins, but I got three right here of the things that I think steal our margins. The first Grinch is people-pleasing. That's the Grinch that steals our time margin. And that gives us, takes us back to the fact that we don't have time for what's important. We don't have time for people in our lives. We don't have time to take care of people. And these people pleasers are the people that are spending their time, they're doing good things and so forth, but they're not doing what God wants them to do. Now, you may be saying, well, what about Philippians chapter 2, 3 through 5? I've got it in your notes because that's the first thing I thought of. It says here, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourself. Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. Your attitude should be the same of that as Christ Jesus. And I thought, okay, well, I can't really look out for my interests. If you're having a bad time, I need to spend my time helping you. And then the next thing I know, this person over here has this problem, and I've got to go help them. And the next thing I know, Nancy's wanting a little bit of attention. I don't know why, but she thinks she's married to me. And before you know it, I'm busy trying to please people. But if you remember in last week's lesson, and if you don't remember, it's okay. You can go back and watch it online. The secret of prayer is secret prayer. That's the name of the sermon. But Jesus left all of those people that had come early that morning to be healed by him to go do what was important. Jesus came with compassion and caring, and he cared about what was going on with all those people. He spent all night healing people, but he knew what was important, and he was trying to please God rather than man. Look at what it says in Proverbs chapter 29, verse 25. The fear of human opinion disables. Trusting in God protects you from that. And sometimes we get so caught up in what other people think that we don't have time to take care of the relationships in our life that we need to take care of. And that margin gets destroyed, and then all of our relationships are destroyed. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 4. So just as we've been approved of God to be entrusted with the gospel, so we speak not to please men, but to please God who tests our hearts. God is wanting to test your heart in all of your relationships, and especially his. The second Grinch that we have is pretending. And that's the Grinch that steals our financial margins. And I've been guilty of the first one very big way, and I've been guilty of the second one in a very big way, wanting to have the best of everything, wanting to make sure that I looked the part, did the part, whatever it was that I needed to do at the time. I remember as a young man in business reading the book Dress for Success, and I went out and bought clothes that I couldn't afford. And I explained it away by telling Nancy that it was all on sale, but we don't have that money. I said, it's okay. They gave me a credit card. And I ended up paying on that credit card for 10 years. My point being is we're pretending sometimes. Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 9, better to be ordinary and work for a living than to act important and starve in the process. I tell you what, this time of the year, one of the things I notice over and over, and I was guilty of this, but I've noticed this over and over, people overspend for that one day. They will spend more than they have for that one day and make that one day glorious. And their kids will have all the toys that they thought those kids had to have. And then 30 minutes later, they're playing with the boxes. And for the rest of the year, parents are trying to catch up. You see, that financial margin that you need in your life, it's better to sit down with your kids and say, hey, you know, this has been a rough year for us. Financially, we've had some things come up that we haven't had happen in the past, and so we're not going to be able to do Christmas like we normally do Christmas. And let them understand and learn what's going on, than to give them presents you can't afford. I remember as I was putting my notes together, I remember when I first started preaching, and we took a 50% pay cut. Nancy wasn't working. I took a 50% pay cut to start preaching. It was significant, and we were tight. And I remember riding down the road one day with Matthew, and he looked at me, and you know, we'd had a pretty good life up until the time I started preaching. And he looked at me and he says, Dad, when are you going to get a real job? And I said, well, what do you mean a real job? He says, when are you going to get a real job? You know, one where you make money. I mean, he was scolding me. He was 6 years old, and he was scolding his father for taking the job as a preacher. And I explained to him that it was a real job, that we were not making a lot of money, but God was going to bless us in other ways, and he did not like that. It was 2 weeks later we got to go to the Navy base. This is before terrorism took over. We got to go to the Navy base, and through a friend of ours, that six-year-old boy got to fly a helicopter simulator. And I told him, I said, you remember when you asked me if I was going to get a real job? You would have never done this if I'd had a real job. Let's fast forward to recently. He had an offer to go to work for a church in their IT department. He told his boss he was leaving to go to work for this IT department. His boss says, give me until Monday and I want to counter their offer. His boss came in and sat him down and said to him, I'm going to double your pay. Now, I don't know what you're making, but just think about doubling your pay. That's significant. The job with the church was just paying just a little bit more, had better vacation time and all that. Matt called me about it, and he said, Dad, this is what's going on. I can't believe this guy doubled my pay. And I'm like, oh, man, that is so cool. But you don't take it unless you get more vacation time, because you're going to have some money to spend, and I want you to come home. And he said, well, I'll let you know what I decide. 2 days later, I called him. And I said, what did you decide? He said, Dad, I'm going to work for the church. And I'm like, who raised you? And I mean, I couldn't believe it. I mean, it's $30,000 difference in pay. And I said, what do you think? What made you decide to do that? And you know what he said? He said, Dad, I'd rather work for God than some man. And then he said the hurtfulest words I've ever heard, and you gave me that example. If you don't have margins, if you've got yourself in so much debt, you can't answer God's calling sometimes. Look at the final thing. In the house of the wise are stores of choice food and oil, but a foolish man devours all he has. Number three, the need to succeed, and that is the Grinch that's steals our relationship margin. The need to succeed steals our relationship margin. And sometimes it could be hobbies that are success. We want to be successful in a hobby we've got. It could be that we want to be successful in work. And it's a lot of times it could be even school. And those relationships that we have, we get hurt because we're trying so hard to succeed. I'm watching people now who are working and going to school online and going to school at night and things like that, and I'm proud of them for doing it, but if it's hurting their family, then it's not a good thing. Because you're not going to get time back with your kids. You're not going to get time back with your spouse. I had a friend and he worked really, really hard to succeed. And he was taking courses at night and all of these things. And one day he woke up and his wife and kids had left him. And it was all because they had no relationship, because he was never home, never cared. He brought home a paycheck and he left it on the counter and then went off to do all the things he thought were important. At the end of my days, I don't care how much money I have. I don't care what I have owned. I enjoy what God has blessed me with. But at the end of my days, I want you to put on my tombstone. I'm not getting a tombstone. I'm getting cremated. But I want you to remember one thing about me, is that I valued relationships over success. You see, a lot of us are spending our time buying things that we can't afford, trying to impress people we don't know, and just digging ourselves in a hole. And it's all in the name of success. Look at what Ecclesiastes chapter 4:4 says. Then I've observed this basic motive for success is a driving force of envy and jealousy. But this too is foolishness, chasing the wind. And then in Mark chapter 2 and verse 27, then he said to them, the Sabbath was made for man, not the man for Sabbath. We need that time. And if you're going to bed at night and you're exhausted and you're falling asleep because you're exhausted and you don't have that moment where you can relax and spend a moment with God, then you're too busy and your relationship with God will falter. Sometimes we get so busy doing that we forget that we're supposed to be human beings, not human doings. And we forget the relationships that are important to us. Proverbs 17:1. Better dry toast with peace and quiet than a house full of feasting and with strife. Don't be chasing the things of this world and miss out on the things that God has given you in your family. I hope this lesson has been helpful to you this time of the year. I know some of you have got it all put together, unlike me, and you don't have any problems with any of this. And for those of you who have that, you've got it all figured out. Next week you can preach. But for the rest of us, I hope this lesson will help you look at your motives, look at your what's going on in your life, look at your margins, and try to figure out what you need to change. You see, each week when we come in here, it's not just about punching our tickets. It's not just about coming in here and singing the songs and closing our eyes and praying the prayers. It's about coming to worship God. And when you truly worship God, you are changed. There is power in praise. Every Sunday morning when I come in here, I am trying to figure out which ends up. I'm teaching the teens class. I'm greeting people and all that. And by the time I sit down, sometimes I'm thinking, okay, what's next? But when I stop and I take time to worship God, this morning was an example. And we started to sing. I could feel God's presence. I had tears in my eyes as I worshiped with you. And one of the things that you've noticed me doing, some of you wave, some of you nod, some of you act like you can't see me, but I turn while we're worshiping, especially when we stand, so that as I'm worshiping with you, I can have that connection with you. As I said at the beginning of this lesson, Sundays are the day I live for. I start getting ready for Sunday morning, Sunday night, because this is what it's most valuable to me in my life right now. Being with God's people. And this morning, if you've worshiped, you should have changed in some way. And if you've changed in some way that you need to ask for the prayers of the church, or you need to be buried with Christ in baptism, we sing an invitation song giving you an opportunity to make those changes. And if you're here and you're subject to that invitation in any way, will you come as we stand and sing?